Oh, you made it. You're finally here. Welcome to Half Cocked Tales, a place where we have a great time celebrating science, the social contract, and just plain old congeniality. Dare I say, a place where we seek a path to peace, prosperity, and exploration amongst the stars. What I'm talking about is an all-inclusive society, meaning if you're not on board with the understanding that we all agree to shared rules, norms, and respect, we're not even obligated to consider your opinion any longer, because the social contract is that important to a civil society. I'm your friend and host, Dan the Worshipman Dionysus Man, sipping on science today. I'd like to welcome any new listeners just joining us. We're here having a good time. We hope you have a good time too. Stay tuned until the end of the show. We're going to be discussing salad making tips that will change your life.
Wow. Sign me up.
As always, I'm joined by some fascinating guests in the lounge today. Ron, the geologist apologist. How are you doing today, Ron?
I'm doing pretty well. Thank you.
Excellent. Excellent. Amber, my sister who loves woo-woo and thinks she's always right, too. How are you doing today, Amber?
Good morning. Just woke up, so I haven't had a chance to do anything wrong yet today.
Got the whole day ahead of you.
I know. What am I going to do?
And always a great time when we're joined by Jamie Lynn, a druidess who's just so damn good at this. How's your morning going, Jamie Lynn?
I'm not far behind Amber. I think I've been up for about an hour, so I've had my coffee. I'm raring to go.
Okay, I'm so glad everybody's been able to join us in the lounge today. And we've got a really fun and informative show brought to you by Trask Industries, the top name in killer robots and mutant identification. We're going to take a long look back today at political assassinations. I wonder why. We're going to skip the science news and snake oil because that conversation, I have a feeling, is going to go very long. We are going to play a rousing rendition of Fact Checking Time. It's going
to
involve headaches, cooking oils, and feces.
Oh,
everybody's
nice
favorite three things.
Everybody's.
And of course, we'll wrap things up with a feel-good story about two parrots that just might help save their species.
Aww.
We'll get to that later. We do encourage everyone to reach out to us over at halfcockedtales@gmail.com, or you can send us a text or voice message to 443-499-8253, or obviously you're more than able to drop a comment over on TikTok or Facebook or Instagram or any of the hot socials that we're a part of. Yeah.
Cutting edge.
Okay, everybody ready to start this shindig? Let's head over to the time machine.
Nothing would be better than a look at days of yester in a time machine.
In the time machine, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to start in the present, and then we're going to hop around to a few different events. We're recording this one day after the attempted assassination on former President Donald Trump. Anytime something big happens, you get a ton of misinformation right out the gate because there's nothing
so
there.
Much.
And
yeah.
People want to know. So to fill the void, people come up with things. And I don't even, I wouldn't always even say it's malicious. Jamie Lynn, we were just talking about, I used to have a former employee that was just came up with the most fantastic lies about themselves, and not in a malicious way, but always like, I just want to be the center of attention and want to be talking.
Right.
And everybody knew this person was full of shit. You get a lot of those people too, where they just want you to listen to them talk, and they want
to be the conversation.
Believe that they have something to say. Right.
It's about them.
They just want to be the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think all of this stuff is necessarily like some sort of psyop. Like, okay, well, we're gonna. So, like, right away, people were sharing some video, some picture of some guy, like, here's the Antifa activist that shot Trump.
Right.
And it was, like, a photo of some Italian journalist, right? Like, it's some of it obviously is. But you hear the gamut of, I wish, you know, thank goodness he survived, thoughts and prayers to why couldn't they have been a better shot?
Right.
You hear all of those, which when it's a political thing, is it? I don't feel like people are wrong to have a desire of why won't my political enemy just disappear?
Right.
Especially when those actions, especially when you, when because people, they view their political opponent's actions as rightfully having real world consequences. Mm. And those real world consequences can result in things that might get you or I killed. If we made a decision, like if I made a decision tomorrow that gets 100 people killed, there's a good chance I might see the death penalty.
Right, right.
But if a CEO of a company makes that decision, they don't see any repercussions. Mm-hmm. So when a politician does it, they don't see repercussions either. A politician takes away a program that was saving lives. They're not accountable for those lives that are now lost. So I would not fault anyone who is saying, I wish the shooter had been more accurate.
Yeah,
I think my sentiment is a number of years ago during, well, after one of the nasty school shootings, Mr. Trump, I think, said something like, oh, it's a shame, but we just got to get over it. Just get over it, guys.
Yeah. Just get over it.
Let's not talk over it.
As an educator, that is so incredibly offensive because I literally, like, this is my reality. Every day I walk into the classroom and I think, is this the day?
Right. It's always got to be in the back of your mind.
Mm-hmm. Is this the day that some kid is going to lose it? And if it is, what am I going to do? How am I going to protect my students? What in my room can I use as a weapon?
Right. Where's my safe exit?
Exactly. And it's a sad reality that we live in, and it's fixable. This is a fixable problem that our politicians don't seem to care to address. And that's really, really disturbing.
We have got some details. We have access to some details about the attempted Trump assassination. The gunman was named Thomas Matthew Crooks, and he did use an AR-15 semi-automatic rifle.
He did. Which, that was the Stephen King comic.
Which is the subject.
What do you want? Gee, go figure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the rifle that people point to is like, this is a weapon of mass destruction.
It's the gun of choice.
The gun, right? It's the most popular gun for a reason. Like, if you're going to be into guns, like, it's got all of the features that you would want.
Bells and
whistles. An assault rifle, right?
Nobody needs an assault rifle. You know, we just don't need it.
Not unless you're planning an assassination.
I've scratched my head about this a lot because, first of all, when we were kids, Amber, growing up with our gun-loving parents and going shooting all the time, you could not own an assault rifle. There was a ban.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. Right.
It was in effect, and nobody felt like, well, I can't defend my home.
Right. No one was screaming, my rights.
And think about it. We didn't grow up with the fear that someone was going to shoot up our classroom.
Not at all.
Right.
I was still in high school when Columbine happened, and it was a shock to everyone. Wait,
what?
Somebody got guns in schools and were shooting kids?
Like, holy crap. What? Yeah.
Right.
And how was that not a clarion call? How are we still talking about an AR-15 that now almost took out a presidential candidate?
That should have been the wake-up call, but no.
Mm-hmm.
Should have been.
And Columbine happened before the assault weapon ban got dropped.
Wow.
When they did Columbine, they couldn't have an AR-15.
Wow.
G. Bush Jr. Got that.
Yeah.
Should say failed to renew it because it was a... It was a length of time. It wasn't a permanent ban.
Damn.
Excuse me. Ooh. Back to this assassination. Obviously, and I alluded to it earlier, like some of the disinformation right away was like, obviously this was Antifa. And J.B. Lynn can attest to this. My first thing out of my mouth was, you know, if this was Biden, they would immediately be running around saying that this was actually a deranged liberal shooting at Biden or a PSYOP false flag to make Biden look like a target, to make the other side look bad.
And I lamented. I said, I really don't think Biden team would ever do that.
No, I doubt it.
However, the information coming out about this kid is that he was a registered Republican.
Yeah.
But he did give $15 to a liberal group in 2021.
That's huge. 15. Oh. 15. Mm-hmm.
That's life changing right there.
That seals it. He's woke.
Which, honestly, with the given data and evidence, I got to claim this guy's a centrist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A Republican giving to left-leaning causes. I've got evidence of both sides. Put him in the middle. Does it matter? The question I'm putting to all of you is, does it matter what the attempted assassin's political affiliations and reasons? Does it matter what his reasons and intent was?
I would say no, absolutely not. Because no. At the end of the day, if you're angry enough, I mean, you got to look at the reasons why this person, I think, felt the need. Okay, wait, now I'm rethinking my thoughts. I don't think it should matter who. I know. But there's a reason, and it comes down in this particular instance, it's political rhetoric, right? He's heard so mm-hmm. much stuff. But if you look at the core, it doesn't matter if he's left, right, or middle. He's a disturbed person who is believing something being fed to him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think as we go through the years of other assassinations, it's just this like political fervor. This is the first time, and as we hit that time machine, find out, but I think this is the first time that the political animosity and vileness is like more than promoting violence has never been to this extreme.
In living memory.
That's a good point. Yeah.
In the America that we all have been in, this has not been a thing. You can't watch Gangs in New York and not see the violence that was in the 1800s. You know,
it happened. No, that's true, and that's a lot of fervor. Gets people blown up, shot, everything.
Yep.
And to me, that's why it's so scary. Because if you look back at enough history, you know. Humans can be awful to each other.
Oh, yes. And we're great at
the
that.
The fact that we had this peace for so long. Yeah. We've had peace in our lives for so long. And the pendulum is now swinging to violence. And it's
well,
awful.
Peaceful coexistence probably isn't the equilibrium of human society, unfortunately. Violence probably is.
Yes. Yes. Which is why I desperately want to keep the Republic. But it's slipping away, right? It's hard to do. It's hard to pull off.
It might not be our nature.
For a while.
Yeah.
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 It's a terrifying world that we live in these days. And I don't understand why we're still, as a society, giving into this divisive rhetoric that we're being fed and why we don't actually come together to protect each other. I don't know. It just is.
So, but that's just it, is in this kid's mind, he was protecting us.
Mm-hmm. Potentially.
Yeah.
Right. He is coming together to protect us.
Yeah. I mean, I guess in his mind, that's true.
Look at Pizzagate, when they thought that there was a pedophile ring, and they pushed that idea that a pedophile ring was being run out of a pizza place until a guy who truly believed it, went in and killed people, and no pedophile ring.
And no basement. And I bring that up. That pedophile ring was run out of.
Right. Not even a basement in the store. And I bring that up because this past week, the evidence and documents of the Epstein and Maxwell court cases keep coming out more and more. And the evidence looks pretty damning. Like, Trump is a pedophile.
Yeah. Pretty bad.
And this Republican kid decides to shoot him. I think that connection is very valid, especially in light of things like Pizzagate. Mm-hmm. Like, people on the right, love them or hate them, you cannot tell me that there are plenty of people that genuinely have this fear boogeyman of pedophiles, and they do want to protect kids. They do. They have it in them. Well, they want to save those kids. They love those fucking kids, and they know those kids shouldn't be molested.
And very often, those that feel the most passionate about that and take these kinds of measures tend to be victims themselves.
Correct.
Right.
And that, and that's this, very right. important layer that we often, you know, skate over or don't acknowledge, is that these people are acting from a place of severe trauma and pain. And, you know, so it's like, what else are they going to do?
I think Amber hit on something there too, and I think we can point to it throughout other shootings, but this kid was definitely bullied. They interviewed some of his schoolmates. He was heavily bullied. And I know that Crumley kid whose parents got convicted, he was heavily bullied. So to Amber's point, you're suffering through something, and you know you're going to take control for once.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the only way you feel you can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in that kid's self-image world, this could have been, this could have given him a very big, why did I have to go through all of this?
Right. Mm.
To be a big hero, that's why I'm going to be the biggest hero. I'll give my life. I know I won't make it out of this.
Right.
Right.
I guarantee that kid had no exit strategy. Yeah, this was his suicide.
Well,
this was his suicide.
He had explosives in his vehicle, I read in one article.
Yes.
Or dangerous materials or something like that. It was so, you know, he definitely, I don't think he intended to come out of that. And, you know, I don't know, a suicide by hero? Is that a thing? I mean, it's,
right. And will history look back at this as an analog to Project Valkyrie?
Right.
Yeah. You know, good point, Ron. I was saying that to Jamie Lynn yesterday too. Like, you know, every time they tried to kill Hitler and failed, it just made him even more sure.
More powerful. We were literally saying, and didn't we just see something?
The hand of God
that said Trump's ratings are going up now.
You know, that triggers my conspiracy theorist.
Mine too. Mine too.
Have you ever, watching some of the video of the incident, have you ever seen a more nonchalant Secret Service during an active shooting?
Yeah.
And during the evacuation, they're pausing for photo ops.
It was weird.
Something's weird with that.
Okay. It came up, so we're definitely going to shift over there. I'm going to link to the BBC article. They've got a picture of this strip of land, and it's got they even put Trump's stage, got a nice red dot, and where the law enforcement snipers are and where the gunman is. The fact that they didn't have that building covered,
it's incompetence at best.
Right. What the hell? They're not even doing their job. If they're not covering that building, what are they doing?
Right.
Yeah.
What are they doing? There's no way you can tell me when you look at these pictures and you know that their job is to look for snipers and shooters ever since JFK, at least.
And there's a rooftop 150 yards away.
And one of the articles says that there were people that saw the guy climbing
side of the building
and like pointing him out to the cops.
And they were ignored.
With a gun.
Yeah, it definitely really makes me wonder. Because
it does, doesn't it?
Just wait for the Oliver Stone movie about it. That'll tell you the truth.
Okay. Come on, Oliver Stone, get on it.
Oh, it's okay. All right.
Suspicious. There's just enough to make you go, ooh, maybe.
I also, Devil's Avocado.
There we go.
I also would like to point out this could just be incompetence.
Absolutely could.
Which is also very, very frightening. Like,
right?
What I'm, and I had a conversation with somebody else on Facebook that was being really glum, and I told him, "Hey, if you are really look, what's the best spin I could give you? Hey, this might inspire other people to try because the Secret Service are so bad.
Right?
This might put the spotlight, and they're like, wait." What, they don't check all the rooftops in a radius? It's that easy?
That's funny.
Well,
and that's frightening.
This is a 20-year-old kid, not a trained sniper. If it had any military training in long distance sharpshooting, I probably would have succeeded.
I mean, 150 yards is nothing for a trained sharpshooter.
Right.
Well, and the only reason he didn't kill him is because he didn't have a scope on said rifle.
Mm-hmm.
If he'd had military training, he would have had a scope.
Yep.
Right. Scopes aren't illegal. AR-15s aren't illegal. This is why this was just a suicide attempt and wasn't like a trained hired assassin, which I think if either side hired a really good assassin, it would just be done.
Right.
Right? That's why I don't think Biden's behind it. Oh, like
it would have. That's yeah, gonna be it'd have been done deal then.
Right.
This is clearly a disturbed kid who, for whatever reason.
Although I still say, if you, I know we're going to probably talk about one of the Kennedy assassinations and how there was a patsy. Was his name Lee Harvey?
What's his name? Always get a patsy.
So what if this kid was the patsy, and they killed him? They killed him. Mm-hmm. We'll never know for sure.
Exactly.
What transpired. That's my conspiracy theory.
You know. That's a really great point. And it's been brought up before how a lot of these assassinations get told as the lone gunman, which is X-Files, like the lone gunman. Like it's been a known thing for many years that it tends to be the official narrative tends to be, oh, it's just one crazy person.
Right.
And this already fits that perfectly.
Yeah.
Already. Here we are. We're 23 minutes in the recording.
And we're there.
We've already covered that, right? And it's like, wait a minute. I totally agree with you, especially when you bring up Secret Service incompetence.
Yeah.
And the fact that people saw it, reported it to the police, nothing happened.
They had one job. One job.
Yeah, that was it.
though I hate to say this, but incompetence is something we have been seeing.
Yeah.
From law enforcement.
Yeah.
Look at Uvalde.
Oh, God.
Like, my first thought is like a cop sees a guy with a rifle climbing up on a roof at a presidential rally. Of course the cop's going to investigate.
You would think.
And then I think, no, Dan, that's what you would do if you were a cop.
Right.
Turns out these cops are bigger cowards than you. God, damn. I thought I was too big of a coward to be a cop. Right. Turns out. I'd be a pretty heroic cop.
Right. Or you have some Secret Service who are like, hey, you know, we're going to turn a blind eye because we don't like this guy either.
Ron just got dark.
See, and this is, but I love that thought, Ron. I love that thought, Ron, because.
Oh, we don't see that guy over there. Nah, no big deal.
How
guy? What guy?
Complex these things are.
Yeah.
And how in a real world scenario, there's so many factors that go into how it actually ended up playing out, and nobody's omniscient.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, we were just talking about Æthelstan, and his brother died 4 weeks into their feud over who gets to be king, and we don't even know how the brother died.
Right.
I'm sure it was natural causes.
Okay, like how can, like, here we are in real time with all these cameras, access to all this data, and we actually still probably never know the full truth of what happened here.
True.
There will be movies made. No doubt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
If Trump wins, there will be mandatory viewings of the movie.
It will be the new Pledge of Allegiance.
Damn it.
Watch this film.
That means I'm going to have to show it in school.
For sure.
Amber, as a literature teacher, you better get ready to start teaching The Art of the Deal.
Your list of approved books will be shrinking.
Oh, it's already shrinking.
Okay.
I'm already not allowed to teach history. All right.
Okay.
It might hurt someone's feelings. Can't hurt teach the history.
Right.
Oh, right. Before we start talking about some of the historical moments and incidences of this, is there anything anybody wanted to bring up before we move on from the attempted assassination of Donald Trump?
Is there anything else?
No, I think we've covered a lot of the things. Everything I wanted to talk about was talked about.
Yeah.
Okay. So there have been some successful and unsuccessful political assassinations in American history. Obviously, the big two are Lincoln and Kennedy,
right.
John F. Kennedy. And when I say incompetence, like look at Lincoln. Lincoln formed the Secret Service just before his death. He had a military bodyguard assigned to him, mm-hmm. and John Wilkes Booth was planning on having to fight that guy. But that guy was like, "Oh, there's so many military people in the crowd. Fuck it, I'm going home.
I'm not."
And needed. He pops off to do whatever. And Wilkes Booth is like, "Ha-cha! Oh, okay, okay. Well, I'll just waltz in this door." So, you know, stuff goes wrong. And Kennedy, they were like, "Let's put this bulletproof glass on your convertible," and he was like, "Nah. People in Dallas love me.
It won't look good. It won't hurt my image."
These decisions that could not be related. They are not related. When JFK made that decision, he had no knowledge and connection. Mm. No, him making the decision to choose that car mm-hmm. was completely unconnected to everything else everybody else was doing. But it just happened to be the decision that allowed for them to do what they wanted to do, yep. right? Like, we don't know. Anyway, I want to talk about some of the lesser big ones. We'll start with Robert F. Kennedy, JFK's little brother.
Okay.
9 kids. He was the JFK's attorney general. He was a known figure in the States. He was very, like, his image was part, like, with his brother. If you knew who JFK was, you knew who RFK was.
Right.
After JFK got assassinated, RFK steps right in, becomes a senator in New York, 1964. And in 1968, in the middle of civil rights struggles, the Vietnam War breaking out, RFK announces, "I'm going to run for president."
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. he quickly gains a large following. Young voters, Black voters, Hispanic voters, all loved him because it's big on civil rights, social justice. He opposes the Vietnam War, very much a people's kind of candidate.
Yeah.
And June 5th, after midnight, he got done giving a victory speech celebrating his win of the California primary, and a 24-year-old Palestinian named Sirhan found him in the hotel and shot him several times, 3 times. And he died the next day.
Damn.
He did not get replaced by a viable candidate. Nixon won. He's running.
That ushered Nixon right into the White House.
Yeah.
Assistant.
Thank you, Sirhan, for that. Lame.
Hubert Humphrey ended up being the Democratic nominee. He was
right.
The incumbent vice president under LBJ, and he lost to. So that was an impactful assassination. Like, political assassination as a tool works.
Yeah,
it really messes with people's emotions.
Get this, and this is wild. It works in a republic. In a democracy, it has less effect in a dictatorship or a fascist rule. And I know that might sound strange at first, but when you unpack it, if you kill Putin dies tomorrow, there will be a power struggle, mm-hmm. but he will be replaced with another authoritarian. Mm-hmm. Running a fascist authoritarian regime. The system remains. Right? You have to have a revolution, not an assassination. But in a republic or democracy, you can do it with an assassination.
Mm-hmm.
Because people will get disheartened and not vote. Like, that next person, like, if this has succeeded and Trump dies, and J.D. Vance gets the nomination.
Right.
He won't inspire the same fervor.
No.
That
the fever
that
dream
their
is broke.
Hero.
Right.
And that, weirdly enough, people who are on the left let this be a shining thing to think about. Biden doesn't have that problem because it's more of, we don't want that fascist asshole to take over and ruin our republic, mm-hmm. and end our democracy. Mm-hmm. So if Biden dies of old age tomorrow, everyone who's voting for Biden will still vote the blue ticket.
Absolutely.
Everyone. I know the troll bots, the Russian farms, and the North Korean
farms been busy.
Are working overtime, mm-hmm. to be like, I'm a young person and I just don't want to vote. Mm-hmm. Hey, young people, you shouldn't vote either. I know that. But the people I talk to and interact with, at least in my social sphere, everybody's like, yeah, I don't care who it is.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and there's been a lot of people talking about how Biden should resign and let Kamala take over the presidency, and then the voting would go for her. There's been that's been posited by quite a few people out there.
Oh yeah. I'm well aware that the news cycle has been dominated with anti-Biden shit, all while the actual facts and data of Trump's being a pedophile has been coming to light and been ignored.
Right? Like, why are we focusing on the real truth here?
Don't look over here. Look over here instead.
Even MSNBC's focused on it, like considered the most left-wing of the channels, and they're like, should Biden drop out? Like, what are you doing?
They're all after the clicks and the views.
Which, you know, is why this information is coming out right now, because that way we can be distracted from it and they can say, well, we released that information and you just didn't pay attention.
Do you think it would be impactful if this kid had what do they call him? His papers,
his manifesto.
There you go. If this kid had a manifesto and he was like, Trump's a pedophile, all this Epstein data came out, I had to kill a pedophile. Would that move the needle with Trump's supporters?
No. Nope. Because then that would definitely be an Antifa person. That was definitely Antifa.
And if you think about it, we don't even need someone else to say things about Trump. He's already said it himself. He has revealed blatantly who he is. And they
believe him.
Ignore him.
Yeah.
Like, they ignore it right out of his mouth. So I don't think there's anything anybody can say, which is
so
incredibly frightening.
Sirhan, who assassinated Robert F. Kennedy, stated at his trial that he did it because Kennedy was pro-Israel and he's a Palestinian.
Okay.
Interesting. I didn't know that bit or didn't remember that bit.
Yeah. Believe it or not, a lot of the fascinating information about Robert F. Kennedy's assassination is Sirhan. And the fact that he's had psychologists declaring him really in a messed up mental state, suggesting that he may have been influenced by political events and his personal experiences of trauma in the Middle East, but others have claimed that he was part of some government mind control, or I should say at best they're claiming his mental state would be consistent with someone who was manipulated mentally.
Interesting.
And they've tried to get him out. A couple different doctors have tried to get him out.
He's still in prison, I believe. Gavin Newsom just denied his parole. 2022. Didn't know that.
Yeah, 20.
That's crazy.
2022. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's still in prison for killing Robert F. Kennedy. However, the next one we're talking about, let's talk about George Wallace. Do you guys remember George Wallace?
Oh, yeah.
Is that the Braveheart guy? Oh, no, that's William Wallace.
One and the same. Right? Wallace is Wallace.
Yeah.
I mean, Wallace, what do I know?
Wait, wasn't William Wallace also assassinated?
No, he was drawn and quartered.
The connection is legit.
Okay, well, I mean, if your political opponents catch you and draw and quarter you, is that not a political assassination?
I would say so.
Yeah, actually, I would call it one.
A political dismemberment.
I mean, they use the things that are available to them, right?
So, right. All right, Amber, so I'll give that to you. William Wallace. Yes, but we're not talking Scotland.
Okay.
We're still here in the United States. He was running for president in 1972, so 4 years, the next election cycle after RFK. He was a huge segregationist. He was governor of Alabama, racist motherfucker, right?
Yep.
What a fun time.
Was he the guy that blocked the schoolhouse door?
Yes, he was. Wow. Yes, he was. Mm-hmm. He was. He was an advocate for states' rights.
You legalized racism.
And his opposition.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It is a dog whistle, mm-hmm. and it always has been. This is, yeah. So, totally an opposed to the civil rights movement. And he decides to run for president, and he's gaining steam and momentum. And he makes a campaign stop in Laurel, Maryland on May 15th. And a 21-year-old from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, named Arthur Bremer.
Lone wolf.
Shot Wallace four times, wounding three other people, including Secret Service agent and a state trooper. Yeah, a lone wolf.
Interesting.
Always.
Wallace got critically injured, bullets lodging in his spine, which resulted in a permanent paralysis from the waist down. He spent the rest of his life in a wheelchair.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
They did fear for his life, but after several hours of surgery, he managed to survive. And he kept running his campaign from the hospital bed, but his momentum had been affected, and he got some sympathy votes, but he didn't even get the nomination that year.
Wow.
Of course your momentum would be affected. That's pretty major.
But he did win re-election as governor. Served until 1979.
Oh, there you go.
On the racism ticket.
And on the racism ticket. It's said that Bremer's motivation was driven by a desire for fame and recognition rather than political ideology. They published a diary that revealed an obsession with achieving notoriety through assassination.
Interesting.
Sounds suspicious to me. Yeah. Sounds exactly like the kind of diary you would want the guy to have if you wanted people to just close the books.
Right.
Well, it says right here he just wanted to get famous for killing somebody.
Case closed.
Case closed. We don't have to look at this anymore.
This guy, Bremer, was sentenced to 63 years in prison. Reduced to 53. He was actually released on parole in 2007.
Oh, wow.
So the guy who tried to kill George Wallace, out of prison already, the guy who killed RFK 4 years earlier, still in prison. Bremer's been out almost 20 years.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Conspiracy much.
You shoot a racist, you get a little bit of a pass. Ooh. I'll allow it.
Right.
And the racists live to tell another tale.
Some other non United States related ones, William Wallace, we already touched on that. Do you remember or know anything about Indira Gandhi? She was the prime minister of India.
Yep.
Office. Yeah, from 1966 to 1977, and then from 1980 to 1984. And she was the daughter of Jawaharlal Nehru.
I'll take your word for it.
India. Her name's Indira Nehru. Anyway, she ousted a radical Sikh priest he was very powerful and had his, they called it Operation Blue Star. And she basically supplanted him from his temple. Hold on. I want to refresh it real quick. So yeah, like the temple complex was turning kind of into a fort, and they were getting like guns, you know, real David Koresh kind of stuff. And after bad negotiations, she ordered the Indian army to take the temple and remove the guy, I think it had been Dronwali, remove him and his supporters from the complex. And they used heavy artillery, tanks, and
all out
in there and all out. Damaged and destroyed a lot of the temple, and including a big shrine and the Sikh library. A lot of Sikh pilgrims died in the conflict. The number of casualties remains disputed, but it could be from the hundreds to maybe even the thousands could have died in this. She got accused of using that for political ends. To present herself as a hero to win the elections in 1984. And of course, Sikhs all over the world were like, what
not
did
happy.
You just do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Well, two of her bodyguards were Sikhs, and they had been with her since the 60s. Mm. So, like, she knew these guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She spent her days with
them.
They were
friends.
And she did not for a second think that maybe ordering the army to destroy a Sikh temple and a bunch of Sikh pilgrims just to get at this radical and his soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
She did not calculate those costs.
Maybe some consequences.
These two guys, one pulled out, right? One of them pulled out a gun. One of them had a machine gun because he's the prime minister's bodyguard.
Yeah.
And she was walking through her garden on her way to a television interview, and they just lit her up.
Wow.
They shot 30 times. They shot at her 23. Mm. They shot her 30 times. 23 passed through her body, 7 remained.
Wow.
They fired 31 shots. They only missed. So they were pretty close quarters.
So she died.
Absolutely. Indira Gandhi died from those wounds.
Damn.
Rasputin wouldn't have.
That was a political assassination, Rasputin.
Indeed it was.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think there's time to get into that, because we do want to
the whole other story.
Yeah, right? I was like, oh yeah, let's talk. Didn't plan on that one. I was going to end.
That's a rabbit hole.
This next one.
Can I just, a quick aside?
Right?
This was in 1980-something, you said?
84.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, some of you were just babes, but I do not remember. Was Amber, were we that on a, like, how do I not know the story of Indira Gandhi? Like, how is our history? Have we always been taught poorly?
I know it happened, but
we were busy watching Gremlins and Goonies that came out that year.
I mean, come on. 84, we were freshmen in high school. Like, or at least I was a freshman in high school in 84, right?
Okay. I was middle school.
Yeah, I was in like seventh, eighth grade, somewhere in there. And
okay, so that might not have made an impression at the time, but why were we not taught this in school?
Oh, because we're not taught anything relevant in school. We're not allowed to.
Wait, the one of the most powerful women in the world getting assassinated? Why would that be a thing?
Right? I'll be honest, they might have taught us in school, but I didn't pay that much attention in high school.
I mean, maybe.
So,
Amber, I may be wrong, but I didn't have a lot of teachers willing to really go in depth in current events.
Right.
Right.
That's true.
It's absolutely true. We didn't have a lot of current event discussions.
Well, you're walking through a minefield. You know, those kids are going to go home and say, well, my teacher said Indira Gandhi got killed and that was a tragedy.
Well, she deserved it.
Are Indira Gandhi. We're Sikh. We hate her.
Right.
We're Sikh supporters in this house. How dare your teacher
boycott.
Say that?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that is the problem now with why we can't talk about anything of any kind of substance in schools.
So we do it on podcasts.
Yay. There we go.
All right. Let's move on. Let's stop talking about assassination and let's play some back checking time.
Woo-hoo. All right. In the hot seat this week.
Just some character assassination.
Here we go. What do you know? It's fact checking time. Will you believe or be deceived? It's fact checking time. Cross my heart and hope to die. Stick the needle in my eye. Here's the quiz that all the kids call Fact Checkin' Time.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Fact Checkin' Time, the news show quiz that tests your ability to tell the difference between a news story and something the media has actually deemed worthy of a true fact check. Now, let's get to the game. I'm going to present to you a series of events and stories that were in the news or on social media, just on the internet in some way. But only one of them has been fact-checked by a media outlet. It could be an article, it could be a media post, it could be an interview quote, it could be a tweet, but only some of them were fact-checked. You'll have 1 minute to ask questions. Amber, you are in the hot seat today, playing for the co-host of the Half Cocktails News Shorts, Poncho Cat. Whether you win or lose decides if he gets wet food or dry food for dinner tonight. Are you ready, Amber?
All right. No, but let's do this.
The pressure is on.
All right. Either oil tankers in China haul both fuel oil and cooking oil without cleaning. Or chicken nuggets contain silicone oil as an ingredient. You have 1 minute.
Okay, China oil. Is this oil being shipped to other areas of the world?
This is oil carrying, these are trucks carrying oil to Chinese companies.
So what the company does, we don't know. Okay.
Yes. I have no information beyond that.
Okay. Other question could I ask?
That's a rough one.
Chicken nuggets. Who's the manufacturing? Is there like a specific company attached to that story?
McDonald's.
The
real McNuggets.
The real.
Pink slime.
Hey, I sure saw that chicken video. And I still eat them. What does that say about me?
That's time. That's
almost Soylent Green.
Which one would we have fact-checked? I think we fact-checked the chicken nuggets.
You are correct.
Yay!
You are correct.
Because we care about our nuggets.
Right? A user on Shitter posted a thread claiming McDonald's uses silicone oil to fry their McNuggets, and the post based on the perception that McDonald's, along with other fast food chains, use that silicone anti-foaming agent, dimethyl polysiloxane, in their oil to fry food. But after 2016, McDonald's took it out because people found out about it.
So they did.
How dare the public find out?
Yeah. The FDA actually lists that as being one of the safe things if it's in a small enough amount. It's no longer used.
But we have silicone and testicles, so draw your own.
Right. The cooking oil scandal is something that's going on in China right now.
Wow.
There's investigative report from state-backed Beijing News that last week said that these tankers are being used for both fuel and food products like cooking oil, soybean oil, and syrup. They claim it's an open secret over there that these tankers don't even get clean. So the state is launching a probe.
We don't need no regulation.
Yeah, that's
a cover song,
right?
By the way.
Get rid of those.
That is really scary.
Oh, just God.
Terrifying.
It's scary. Oh, it is. It is. But luckily, you know, we've got the Chinese state investigating. No, it's wild because, you know, we tend to have this concept that in China, they've got this iron grip on their economy because they're not laissez-faire capitalism. But even they are having to deal with regulation issues. Like, oh, they're not looking. Oil's oil.
Oil's oil. Yeah. It's just, you know. Cooking and fuel for your car. No biggie.
It's body safe, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. No problems there. All right. Whew. One down.
Next question. One down. All right. 1 minute back on the clock. Either living near a Bitcoin farm causes migraine headaches, or butt plugs were used as old-timey headache cures.
How do you come up with these?
Okay, where are Bitcoin farms located?
Everywhere.
Specifically, this one is in Granbury, Texas, but they are all over the world.
And what is a Bitcoin farm?
A Bitcoin farm is a giant warehouse of computers and servers mining Bitcoin.
Yeah, I don't get the whole Bitcoin thing. Like, I never even looked.
And they are energy hogs.
Yes, they are.
Okay. I'm going to say, oh, God. Americans love a good sex-related story, though.
Don't
Which
we?
One would they want fact check? They fact checked the butt plug.
They did. That's
Yay!
Correct. Well
Yay!
Done.
Yay, Pancho.
I've redeemed myself.
A 19th century set of rectal dilators was actually sold, manufactured and sold as a headache cure, also treated insanity, constipation, and numerous other ailments. It was
Who knew they had multiple
box,
applications?
Multiple applications. That's why they're so popular.
The
today.
Rectal Dilators is a great band, by the way.
But can you turn them? Can you turn it all the way up to 11, Ron? So the other story is from Time.com. There is a Bitcoin farm in Granbury, Texas, and they're having an issue with more than 40 people in the area have medical ailments linked. That the doctors are linking to the Bitcoin mine: hypertension, heart palpitations, chest pain, vertigo, tinnitus, migraines, and panic attacks. At least 10 people went to urgent care or emergency room with these symptoms. They suspect it's the giant sound coming from all of the copious fans.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah, but they aren't quite sure, but they know it started. And, you know, maybe some of it is linked to groupthink, the hysteria crowds, you know.
Once you hear it.
But several people who live really close to it, they've shown, like, it violates town ordinances. So the Bitcoin facility is changing to different cooling methods. But it is a gigantic complex. Anyway.
Sounds like
Bitcoin
is a migraine.
Right. Okay, last question. Bonus points here.
Double wet food?
Double wet food.
All right.
He's licking his lips. Okay. Either an Iowa woman put out a PSA on not eating icicles in the winter as they might be riddled with bird poop, or an Arizona man has collected over 8 1,000 pieces of fossilized poop.
Wow.
Oh, God. Fact check.
Which was fact check?
Where did you find the story on the icicle?
A Sioux City...
Boosicles?
A Sioux City Falls Fox affiliate news station, KMEG.
Well, Fox, you know, they fact check.
Collection.
That was a story first reported on the AP.
Okay.
Associated Press.
Okay.
Hmm.
I am going to say they fact checked the poop collection.
I'm sorry, that's not correct.
Darn.
Oh, you were doing so good.
A man in Williams, Arizona,
mm-hmm.
has opened what he's calling the Pooseum and showcasing more than 7,000 of his species, fossilized species collection.
Not his personal feces.
He's doing God's work.
Yeah, right? If you're in the area and you want to check out some fossils, I mean, it's fossilized poop, so it's not dirty or filthy by any means.
Uh-huh. Wow, that is interesting.
And the Iowa woman is meteorologist Katie Nicolau from the Sioux City Fox affiliate KMEG. And she put out a video explaining it's a bad idea to eat icicles that hang from the side of the building because it contains bird poop.
I mean,
the water melts off your roof, runs down the side of a building. Well, here's the thing. You know what else is on your roof? Bird poop. A lot of it. And the water picks it up and freezes it in the ice. You're eating poop.
You're eating poop.
She's not wrong.
I was thinking we didn't have to fact check that one because it seemed pretty obvious to me.
Yeah. That. Yeah, made it to Snopes to get fact checked.
Yeah.
Damn.
But and Snopes confirmed it, right?
Yes, it is true. Yeah.
Snopes
it
is like, absolutely yeah, true. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, there's poop on your roof.
We are right, that right. stupid.
I mean,
but thankfully, you did get 2 out of 3. Well done, Amber. Woo-hoo. Well done. I know you were really sweating it.
I was.
That's gonna do it for Fact Chime. Everyone, join us next week where either I'm going to be too chicken to dance, or I'm going to dance with some chickens.
Ooh, this could be fun. Ooh.
Can't wait.
We hope you had a good time. Maybe you learned a thing or two. I know I did. But we got to move on. It's time. Let's talk about some feel-good news.
Oh, we need to after all of that.
All of that.
A go for a sip. Maybe even a hit. And join us for half.
Okay, so 2 rare parrots from an endangered, critically endangered species from native Bolivia. They're red-fronted macaws. They just arrived at the Twycross Zoo in Leicester, England. And they're being paired together as part of a breeding program. There are fewer than 300 of these birds left in the wild right now.
Damn.
Ooh, ouch.
Yeah. And a Welsh Mountain Zoo and an Edinburgh Zoo each donated one of their parrots, one of their red-fronted macaws, as part of this effort.
Sharing is caring.
To quote Rice McKee, assistant bird curator, it's always an exciting day when a new animal arrives at a zoo, but being reunited was a really special moment because Rice had worked at the Edinburgh Zoo previously. When he hatched, it was the first time in over 15 years that the species had been successfully bred at the zoo. So these guys are difficult to get to breed. Continue the quote. So now to give him a home at Twycross Zoo, where he will continue the conservation journey and hopefully breed more of this rare species, momentous for me. They're very gorgeous birds, too. Very gorgeous. If you think of that classic cartoon pirate parrot that goes on the shoulder that's got the rainbow colors, Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about here, the red-fronted macaw.
Oh, and they're beautiful. They really are.
They're just gorgeous rainbow birds. Why wouldn't you want one?
Well, that's why they went extinct.
So, you know.
Mm. Yeah, right.
Why wouldn't you want one?
So if you're ever in Twycross, take a gander at the zoo and go say hi to this new pair of parrots, hopefully breeding pair. Any opportunity to save a distinct species is one we have to take. And it warms my heart to see people doing the hard work, getting it done. That's a win.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
All right. Sadly, though,
don't say it.
All good things do have to come to an end. Hopefully not critically endangered species, but definitely this episode. Before we go, I do need to thank Trask Industries, keeping the mutant population at bay with zero desire for profit and power.
Zero.
Thanks, Trask. Mm-hmm. Zero. looks like we don't have any time left for the salad making tips that will change your life.
What?
I will confess, I completely lifted that one when I pulled up the news and was looking at things to assemble the show. The headline was Ina Garten's salad making tips that will change your life.
No,
and you clicked and it.
I thought to myself, there is. I did not click it because I was on a mission. Uh-huh. I didn't have time to dally on dumb dalliances. But I did immediately think, Dan, there are no salad tips that could change your life. Not a one. Not a one.
Really? Are you sure? There's a lot of different things out there that you can call salad.
Maybe if Ina Garten's got some salad sex stuff that I haven't heard about. That. Or like, here's a salad you can smoke.
Yeah, I'm going to go find that article.
Toss your salad.
Ina Garten's salad tossing tips.
We don't want that.
Changed my life.
Yeah.
Before we go, I got to give a shout out to Science, Congeniality, and the Social Contract, making society better than anarchy for many of the last thousands of years. Anybody got any final words, thoughts? Before we go,
all that.
Yes, hard to top that.
I mean, I think I'll go make myself a salad.
There you go.
I think I'll go have Dan make me a salad.
Well, Jolan True, everybody.
Boom. Have a wonderful day, folks. If you had a good time with us, you know what to do. Tell someone that needs us. You can find us over at halfcocktails.com. We're on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. If you're in a giving mood, find us over on Patreon or visit halfcocktails.com/shop. And find yourself some awesome branded merchandise. We'll have all those links in the episode description. Thanks for stopping by. Now, go out and be well.
Now things are ending. It's time to go. No more to get through. Thanks for listening. That's our show. Ain't affectation. We're just leaving you half-cocked. 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 We had a good time talking today. But even best times, eventually they fade away. Ain't adjuration, we're just leaving half-cocked.